Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago, Toronto, Quebec City, any of those places back east, or hurricanes. Now let's hope the weather improves because we've just started that daylight saving time, and a growing number of people, it's so disrupted their lives. Maybe it's time to just stop it when we go back to regular time in the fall. The origin of daylight saving time was actually when we were more agricultural. The country's not that way anymore, so it's something to think about. Anyway, among the birthdays today, we have Thomas Hart Benton, great painter. Some of his work is in the Smithsonian, and we have one of them on the web today. Also, we have the founding father of the Strauss family. This is the Austrian Catholic family of musicians. Strauss was also... there were Strausses who were Jewish or had Jewish ethnicity or origin, like Louis Strauss, Admiral Louis Strauss in the Eisenhower administration, who was involved in the nuclear program, very controversial, and a lot of Strausses who are Gerard and Strauss is a big publishing company. Anyway. We'll get back to why the senior Strauss wrote the famous March Radetzky, and we'll get into that. Among the other birthdays today, we have Paul Ehrlich, the German scientist in the late 19th century, mid-19th century, who developed the magic bullet. He was looking for a way to kill bacteria. And, of course, it was a movie starring Edward G. Robinson, a famous movie. Also, the birthday of Thomas Riley Marshall. He was, I think, the third politician to enter the executive branch, the third politician from Indiana. There were the two Harrisons, William Henry Harrison, Tippecanoe and Tyler II, and then Benjamin Harrison, then Thomas Riley Marshall, who was the vice president in both of Woodrow Wilson's administration. And he's best known for two things. The statement is, what this country needs is a 5-cent cigar, or a good 5-cent cigar. Also, when Woodrow Wilson became incapacitated, and maybe Wilson's wife blocked this, Thomas Riley Marshall refused to assume the presidency. So then he disappeared into historical obscurity. Now, Wilson's successor, Warren G. Harding, the G stands for Gamaliel, and this was the middle name Gamaliel was made up by Harding's mother, who wanted something that sounded biblical. It's not that's the only origin of the G. Harding was the first president to file and pay income taxes. Wilson never paid income taxes. And it's interesting, during the American Civil War, there was an income tax imposed by Abraham Lincoln. Now, among the other deaths today, we have Busby Berkeley, who was put on all these dance spectaculars and films during the 1930s. We have also Then also among the events today, the royal charter was granted to the Bay County, Massachusetts, and to what was called Providence Plantations, which later became Rhode Island. And then in 1933, during the Depression, Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt decided to put the youth to work, and he started the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps, where he got the kids out of the cities and into doing conservation work around the country. Now, George Christopher, the mayor of San Francisco, suggested this to reviving the Civilian Conservation Corps. He suggested to Clinton. Clinton ignored it. And of course, we've always brought up the point that one of the reasons that we have this high unemployment and these idleness in our urban areas, we suggested to a congressman that they revive a version of the Civilian Conservation Corps, send these kids out into the farms and do agricultural work and pay them well, give them one half of their salary at payday and put another half, the other half, in a savings account. So when they when the summer's over, they have money in the bank, and they can go either to school, buy a car, travel, or whatever. But apparently that hasn't gone anywhere, one of my many ideas. Also on this day in 1950, J. Edgar Hoover was still running the FBI, and he started, our newspaper started, the 10 Most Wanted. So if you go into the post office, you will see, federal buildings also, you'll see the 10 Most Wanted. And then also if you go into like U.S. Attorney's Office or an FBI office, you'll see, it used to be when I worked in the federal building, used to have the 10 Most Wanted criminals, and they were up there, and then there's individual ones with their fingerprints. Now, I did promise Dr. Loyal Davis, who didn't get the credit he's due. He was Nancy Reagan's stepfather, and he was a famous surgeon and teacher at Northwestern University in Chicago, and we finally located his talk about the American College of Surgeons, which is very important. Davis is very important also because, and relevant to Obamacare and what's going on with medical industry in America today, is there are questions about fee splitting. When doctors refer patients to another doctor, they split the fee. Dr. Davis was opposed to this. He always charged his fees for surgery on the basis of a family's ability to pay. He would ask, how much money do you make a month? And that would be the monthly salary would be what of a patient would be what Dr. Davis charged. And you don't see that today. Of course, a lot of doctors come out of school. The young doctors have a huge academic bill, student loan to pay. So we can understand some of this. But here's Dr. Loyal Davis here speaking at the American College of Surgeons, which is in Chicago, by the way. Also, Dr. Davis opposed Nancy's relationship with Ronald Reagan, but apparently she got what she wanted. And also both Davis and Reagan were both born in southern Illinois. So here's Dr. Loyal Davis. I don't know where he got that name, Loyal. I'll have to look it up.
Loyal Davis speaks from the John B. Murphy Memorial Auditorium of the college in Chicago. This motion picture relates some of the efforts of the American College of Surgeons to elevate the care of surgical patients during the 50 years of its existence. It is also a history of modern surgery because so many advances have occurred in the last half century. The American College of Surgeons is the largest and the most active surgical organization in the world and the oldest accreditation body for surgeons in the Americas, now celebrating its semicentennial in 1963. But the college is more than that. It is the united efforts of thousands of dedicated surgeons who have joined together throughout the years to ensure the welfare and safety of patients. The names of many of these surgeons, long since gone, have been household words, and many of these giants in surgery served the college long and well. On the walls of this auditorium hang the portraits of the past presidents of the college. Among these are John M. T. Finney of Baltimore, the first president, Dr. George Crile of Cleveland, the Mayo brothers of Rochester, Minnesota, Dr. Rudolph Matas of New Orleans, Dr. Harvey Cushing of Boston, Dr. John B. Deaver of Philadelphia, and Dr. Everett A. Graham of St. Louis, to mention only a few of the.
Now, Dr. Harvey Cushing is very important. In fact, Dr. Davis, did residency with him. Now, Cushing, you hear both in veterinary medicine and in human medicine, you hear the disease called Cushing's disease. Now, what that is the adrenal glands get out of whack, and of course it's very dangerous for both humans and dogs, and you get this hump in the back of the neck in humans, and also in dogs they start to shed and frequent urination, losing control of their bladder, this sort of thing, and it's very expensive using traditional medicine to try to control the Cushing's disease. Now, we are experimenting with natural ways to deal with this because we have a problem with one of our dogs. So, and it's very expensive. The medicine's like over $100 a month, and we're trying other methods, methodology to deal with this problem. And, of course, so we will be issuing a report as requested by the pharmaceutical company that sold us the natural remedies or ways of dealing with or controlling Cushing's disease. So that's very important. Also, since tomorrow is the big primary in some of the states across the United States, Donald Trump is not the first presidential candidate to be a victim of political sabotage. What happened in Chicago was stirred up by the Alinsky, and we're going to deal with I met Alinsky as part of a college speech and political science and journalism project many years ago. I think it was 1964-65. Anyway, he wouldn't give me the interview, but we did find out that he came to San Francisco and laid the foundation for co-opting federal programs. We're very successful here, and we'll get into that another day, who was responsible. Alinsky died in Carmel. We haven't seen his probate. It's one probate that I haven't done or researched. That's part of my expertise, because I've done several interesting probates, including a partial one on Mel Belli, and also the guy, a Polish refugee who came to America and started a beer brewing company. And when he died, we got the part of the probate and had her investigated. And all of a sudden, he had relatives. The deceased had relatives coming out of Poland, Russia, Israel. It was quite interesting. So these are the kind of things that occur. Also, some of the scandals that are going on in probate court, where we have these politically connected, in one case, a male prostitute, a reputed, I should say, male prostitute, who got a house in San Francisco during the height of the real estate inflated market. He got a house for about $150,000. And we still can't figure out or discover why he got this house, since he had no source of visible income. Although maybe one of his clients may have paid for it. It's very interesting because this person is very foul-mouthed and also is a so-called self-anointed expert on homelessness. Of course, he's not homeless. So we'll get into that. Also, now getting back to the affordable housing scandal here in San Francisco, Leland Yee will be entering federal custody to serve his sentence, I think, in a week or two. And, of course, he's a politician. He has a doctorate in psychology. And, of course, he was at the San Francisco School Board where he was involved in scandals. Then he was on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, or what known back east as city councilman or selectman. And he was a chairman of the budget committee. And in that capacity, he was responsible for approving millions of federal poverty dollars that went to employees of the Board of Supervisors and other sleaze. And of course, they never accounted for this money. So this is going to come up. But one of the interesting things is we keep hearing about affordable housing, and that's why there's so many homeless on the street. That's not so. It's a multi-dimensional problem. But one thing that's interesting, in San Francisco, among the corrupt practices of one of the agencies, the Redevelopment Agency, five people, politically connected people, got dollar-a-month houses that were public property. And in one case, the Mary Rogers case, her family was running a fencing operation and a drug-dealing operation until the police busted it. She ran up a water bill of $500 a month. Of course, this was before the drought. Another case, we had a media person getting a condo. Dernie Dennis O'Patrony used to work for a legal newspaper and was involved in covering up the abuses of U.S. Navy sailor Stephen Neri. In another case, we have an architect's mother who came up from Los Angeles. She got an affordable housing apartment in a new building, and her son Stoller facilitated the deal for a $100 campaign contribution. Apparently, she got this apartment. So these are some of the things. Also, a major HUD official, Julian Fitzhugh, got at least three condos that we know about, two in San Francisco, one in Richmond, and we don't know if there are others. We suspect it. And the reason we found out about it was he didn't pay his garbage bills, and it came up as a lien in public records, which we happen to come across. And you should see, we're going to put up his condo in what was a famous hospital and one of the gorgeous views of San Francisco. All these things are going on. In another case, we had dead people at the Sweetheart Hotel, the Cambridge, the operator of that affordable housing, so-called hotel, was getting nearly $1,000 a month for a person who was dead, never was a resident there, and also claimed that this dead person had done damage to the apartment, and there was a payment from HUD through the HUD funds for that. Imagine a dead person rising out of the grave and doing damage to an apartment that he never lived in. But these are some of the scandals. And also we have foreigners who come in here and do all kinds of dirty deeds and abuse American citizens. We're being disenfranchised in our own country. Now, we did talk about Johann Strauss Sr., and he wrote the Radetzky March. Now, back during the 18th century and the 19th century, the Austrians, Austro-Hungary, that empire, Franz Joseph, they controlled that area of Central Europe, including Italy. And Radetzky was a famous general who put down a military, an uprising in Italy. And so what happened was that Strauss, he was a very popular hero, and so Strauss wrote the Radetzky March. I think we have it here. Let me see. And it's very popular, and if you watch PBS and the New Year's concert that is broadcast, at the end with the Vienna Philharmonic, and they have guest conductors, at the end of the program, they play the Radetzky March. Let me see. I think this is it here. No, sorry, that's not it. We'll pay it another day. Anyway, we're going to do with our usual. We'll be back Wednesday when we should have Patrick Butler. And one of the issues that we're going to talk about is that movie Spotlight, which was based on the investigative reporting done by the Boston Globe. And an area, Boston, is, as you know, has a lot of Roman Catholics in it, and they had a controversial Cardinal Archbishop named Cardinal Law, who broke all the laws. And when he knew he was going to be subpoenaed, he fled to Vatican City, and there he had immunity. He's still living in a fabulous mansion, I understand. Another scandal. But the issue that we're going to bring up, because there's a lot among the Catholic Catholic clergy that are involved in these multitude of cases around the world. It's Australia, it's Canada, it's Europe, Belgium, France, Austria, United States, in South America, and Spain, Portugal. But predominant, the ethnic group that's predominant in these pedophile scandals are Irish, and we're going to get into that. However, there are those people who hate the Catholic Church, and the question should be, we think, is should other religions beside Roman Catholicism be spotlighted? We'll be discussing this with Patrick Butler, who we will be celebrating St. Patrick's Day on Wednesday. And the theme is some of the things you didn't know about the Irish and some of the things you don't want to know. So we're going to end with our usual politics and poker, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We have San Francisco City Hall, which is a source of a lot of public corruption and maybe the source of a federal investigation. Anyway, stay safe, and let me get our usual politics and poker. And of course, this will be up on the web, the this program. And, of course, excuse me, getting over my cold. So stay safe, and we'll see you, or we'll be broadcasting on Wednesday, a day ahead of the official St. Patrick's Day, which is usually the 17th, and on would be Thursday.
Too much of my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise. Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay. You know.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen. How about some name we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it bound? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
This is Peter Paul Bozzola. We'll be back Wednesday, the day St. Patrick's Day Eve, and our guest is supposed to be Patrick Butler, who's actually half Russian, and we will be discussing some of the things you didn't know about the Irish and some of the things you may not want to know. So, well, good night, stay safe, and of course we will not be drinking Guinness and we will not be eating corned beef.